should see this number out this evening. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to 1 Samuel in the 7th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, 1 Samuel chapter 7. Welcome any visitors we may have. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by being immersed into Christ, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and upon your confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, I want to begin reading with you at verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 12. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and they were so confused that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." This event that I've just read in your hearing is a part of the sacred history of the Israelite nation. And at this time, you'll find where Samuel places a stone between the cities of Mizpah and Shin. And notice he identifies the name of the stone. He calls it Ebenezer. You know, there is an old song that we sing, "I will raise my Ebenezer," and sometimes I wonder how many understand what they're singing. At this particular time, notice the definition is given in the Bible. The Bible says it is the stone of help, that God has helped us. They raised this stone up as a reminder of what God had done for them upon that occasion. Here the people were fearful, here the people were crying out, and God heard their prayer. Now, in order that we might appreciate this event, let's take note of several things. First of all, notice who their enemy is at this particular time. Their enemy is the Philistines. And notice the Philistines despise the God of heaven. And as a result of their hatred for God, they felt the same toward His people, and they were a thorn in the side of the people of God. In fact, the business, back in 1 Samuel chapter 4, they defeated the people of God. And you remember that at that time, in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 3, the children of Israel recognized them as their enemies. They said, "These individuals, these people, are our enemies. They are against us and against the God that we believe in and the God that we serve and the God that we preach." But notice, secondly, in 1 Samuel chapter 7, not only do you see the enemy, notice the fear of the people. In 1 Samuel 7, in verse 7, notice the latter part, they were afraid of the Philistines. There was fear in the heart of the people of that time because they recognized the military power of the Philistine nation. And here the Philistines had heard that the people of God had gathered together and noticed that they are about to go out to battle them, and thus the people of God had great fear in their heart. But then I want you to take note, my friend, when you're outnumbered and you feel overwhelmed, no doubt fear will set in. But note a third thing. Notice what the people did at this particular time in verse 8, and it's a very commendable thing. In verse 8, they came to Samuel and noticed their prayer. They prayed to Samuel, or requested Samuel to pray on their behalf, when they said, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And then we find where the prophet of God, Samuel, goes to the Lord. The people told Samuel to cry out to the God of heaven, to pray for them. And then Samuel went to God with an offering and poured out his heart unto the God of heaven, and God answered his prayer. And notice how God answered his prayer, with a loud thunder. And notice that thunder confused the Philistine army, and they were then taken captive and killed by the Israelite nation. God was able to confuse the people, the enemies, at that particular time. I've often thought about the prayer that Samuel uttered, the sacrifice that Samuel made, and the fact that he cried out unto the Lord God that he might save them from the hand of the Philistines. But you know, my friend, had he not saved them, he still would have been God. But at this time, God answered the prayer in the affirmative. Now, God is not obligated to answer every prayer we have in the affirmative. I've heard some people say, "Well, praise God, he answered my prayer." Well, sometimes God answers prayers in the negative, and that does not mean he's any less God. He is still God. But at this time, on this occasion, he answers in the affirmative. But then if you take your Bible, notice in 1 Samuel 7 that Samuel takes the stone and he puts it in the very land where the Philistines had been defeated. And this was to remind the people of God that the Lord had been their help. Without the Lord's help, they would not have overcome the enemy. They would not have been able to defeat the Philistines. And they must not forget that God helped them. They had to be grateful for the help of God. They were to praise God for His help. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn to the 115th Psalm. And when you come to the 115th Psalm, look beginning at verse 9. In verse 9, the divine revelation said, "O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Notice again in verse 11, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Notice there is not only prayer, but the fact that you know God will do what is best and trust in the Lord. It reminds me of one of my favorite Psalms, the 121st Psalm, where in verses 1 and 2, it said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord." And thus, my friend, they were to understand God helped them. Thus they raised the stone, and the stone was identified as Ebenezer, and the stone at that particular night time meant the Lord has helped us. Now, I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts for us and the lesson journeys. The first thing I want us to think about is we have enemies we must face. And there are some enemies we face, and we have to recognize that sometimes they can overpower us. The first thing I want us to think about is there is the enemy of sin. That is the greatest enemy to man. And the only way that we can overcome sin is by the help of God and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The greatest problem in the human problem to man is sin. And without God's mercy, God's grace, God's compassion, we could not overcome this great enemy. But secondly, Satan is our enemy, and he's identified thus in the Scripture. He is identified as our enemy who's seeking to devour us. And thus tonight, I recognize Satan is powerful. He's not as powerful as God. I recognize God is all-powerful and Satan is limited in scope to his power. But I'll tell you one thing, I must never underestimate the power of the evil one, lest he come in and he take my soul away by tempting me to do that which is wrong. But third, we also have enemies who are people. People who have no regard for the truth, and they make jokes and misrepresent your position. I don't know how many times in my life I've had people misrepresent positions of my friends or myself. And they'll say, well, that's their position, and they never even ask me what my position is. But then I want you to think about young people. Young people have enemies. They have to worry about the temptations of this world, whether it be alcohol, drugs, pornography, all the things that are facing young people today. And I wanted you to understand that is an enemy we must face. But the second thing we have to realize is there can be fear at times. That there are times that we may fear our enemy. The young are faced with this problem. They may fear what their friends will say about them if they're loyal to God. And many times adults are fearful of what our friends will do when we disagree with them. And I'll tell you, my friend, there comes a time that we must stand for truth, even if it means our friends disagree with us and mock us. The real man is one who will say no and will stand for what is right. If you have a thought about, my friend, we must learn to overcome some things. Now, as we talked about this morning, there are some things that just naturally we're going to be fearful of. But when we think about our fear, have you ever thought about what we need to do? When we're fearful and we've got problems, what did they do in the book of 1 Samuel in the 7th chapter? They prayed to the God of heaven. And I tell you, we need to do like Samuel, cry out to God for help. He has promised to help us. As we mentioned this morning in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that He has promised to help us with any temptation. He has promised that He would give us a way of escape so we do not have to sin. He's promised that He will forgive us when we do fall short if we confess our sin and repent of our sin. And I'll tell you one thing that's lacking tonight in a lot of people's lives is the prayer. Praying unto the God of heaven. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about that God has helped us? Now, my friend, there may not be a clap of thunder, but God still helps His people. And you know, I may not always know how God helps me, but I believe the fact that God helps His children. Has there ever been a time in your life when God helped you? And you know what we need to do? We need to let that become an Ebenezer in our life and not forget all that God has done for us. That's why we take of the Lord's Supper. In John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do we take of the Lord's Supper? We see the greatest gift God has given us, and we must never forget that He overcame death. And because He overcame death, we too will overcome death. He overcame sin. And because He overcame sin, we now have a high priest who can sympathize with us and help us when we fall short. We need to remember. Oh, we may not raise a stone up, but I'll tell you what, every time we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the Lord's help. We remember what He's done for us. And you know what I think tonight? I think many of us have failed to see that God is willing to help us. But what God wants from us is trust and obedience. And even if He doesn't answer in the affirmative and take away the enemy and take away the problem, that doesn't mean that God doesn't care. But I'll tell you what it means. His grace is sufficient so that we can be what He wants us to be to His glory. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, our prayer is that something's been said that would touch your heart, where you would obey the gospel and become a child of God and have Him as your Father, as together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.